mentioned it before, but I more often than not preach out of a lectionary. And a lectionary is the calendar. There's a calendar of different scriptures that throughout the year, every Sunday, there's an Old Testament text, a psalm, a New Testament text, a gospel text. And then I pick and choose from those, but oftentimes then what I'm doing is, number one, I'm not just preaching off of my whims and what I think you all need, but really trusting that through that lectionary, God will be directing what is going to be preached about. But it also then follows the Christian year, so that we just got through the Easter season. Actually, we're finishing the Easter season. And with this now, this is the Ascension Sunday. And so they were texts on Jesus' ascension. So as Shannon read there in Luke, the last chapter of Luke, right before Jesus ascended, he gave his final words, final instructions to the disciples. And then I love how in Ephesians we see what Jesus ascended to. And it was to this position of absolute power, absolute authority, there seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So I want to then use those texts and draw out some of the essential truths from those texts this morning. And I think there's some just wonderful teachings that we have in those texts. So first, it is this awesome power that Jesus has. And if you read in Ephesians, in that those latter verses of what she read, it talks about then this awesome power that Jesus has. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. There is nothing that is not subject to Jesus. Even the devil, even the demons, they are subject to him. And he demonstrated that in his life. He would come around, and if somebody was demon-possessed, I mean, that demon would shriek. You know, while he was here on earth, they knew it. And now when he's up in heaven, he's even more powerful. And he is just supreme in power. And as Julie was giving her testimony, and thank you, Julie, and yeah, we're going to have, this was my request, could we have testimonies once a month? I truly believe that among this group, this family, this congregation, we've got some powerful testimonies. And I just get supercharged when I hear these testimonies. And I think sometimes they're more powerful than the sermon. Yes, I said that. So, and it was great, and as she talked about prayer. But, you know, if you can get a right understanding of the power and the authority that Jesus has, that can radically change your prayer life. And I think the problem with so many of us is we have an anemic prayer life. It's just weak and pathetic. And it's not because of us. It's because of our misconceptions, and we just don't understand who Christ is and what he's got available. Everything, all power and all authority. And I know, I mean, I've heard Julie say this, and yeah, she is one of the chief prayer warriors in the church. And she just said, I'm nothing. I don't have anything. I'm not gifted in this. What she has is this powerful belief in Jesus' supremacy, and that Jesus offers to us. He says, come to me. In John, John 16:24, until now you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and it will be given to you, and your joy will be made complete. I think it's in the Gospel of John. He says, you will do greater things than I did here on earth. Wow. That's intense. Why? Because he's up there in heaven, and he's given us this invitation. He says, you are my friends. I don't even call you servants. You're my friends. Ask. Ask it of me. So I was trying to make that known and tell the kids in simple terms that, God, it's like having this multi-trillionaire who's got his checkbook out and says, what do you need? Come on, tell me, what do you need? Now, wait a second, that's a want. And sometimes, you know, we have to discern, and he'll discern between the wants and the needs, but he's waiting there. He's waiting there. And so when it comes to prayer, our perception of who Jesus is and the power he has makes all the difference in the world. Too often, because of that, just it gets messed up in our heads. We just get swallowed up with anxiety and concerns, and there's this compulsive behavior that we have. It would all end if we could just keep that right in the forefront of our minds. Jesus, awesome in power, and I can come before him and lay my request before him. Yeah, that's the calm. That's the peace that we can have. And it's not because of me. It's all because of him. That's the secret behind all great and powerful prayer. Not me. It's him. He's awesome in power, and he's an awesome intercessor. He is there at God's right hand. And if you read in the book of Hebrews, that the writer to Hebrews talks a lot about this great high priest that Jesus was. And he is a great intercessor because he went through it. He lived. It's God who took on flesh and lived this earthly life, walked among us. He felt what we feel to the depths. He knows our struggles. Oh, he knows intimately. And so he gets it. But again, in prayer, sometimes I feel ashamed, or I feel like, you know, God wouldn't get it. He gets it. And he invites us, come, come. He's an amazing intercessor. And he's all powerful. So if we can capture that, our prayer lives could be radically changed. Again, being a prayer warrior has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with who Jesus is. All right? Then, what is Jesus' purpose for his disciples and for us? And he states it very clearly too in these scriptures. He says in Luke that it is his purpose for them to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. And I told you all last Sunday, I was talking about witnessing and evangelism. You know, you can get 90% of the way there by just loving on people, connecting, being friends with people, and then loving them. It really is as simple as that. The Apostle John, I love, and we were talking about that in Sunday school class as we were reading through 2 John. Last week I was mentioning the Gospel of John, but John puts it so simply. God's will for us is this. Love him. Love him, but love him with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, all your soul. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's his commands. So do his commands and you're going to love. And when you're loving, you're doing God's commands. It's this wonderful circle and it's as simple as that. And if you'll do that, that's how you can be his witnesses. It's not going out there necessarily with a bullhorn and standing on a street corner. I'm thinking of my good friend, Reverend Kirk Bell on the south side of Chicago, and he'd have this about 7-foot wooden cross and he had little wheels on it on the end, so that as he went down Cottage Grove Avenue with this cross, it just rolled along with the little wheels, and then he'd stand there with a bullhorn, and anyway, and then he hands the bullhorn to me, and I'm like, that's not my style. But when it comes to evangelism, my style is, hi, who are you? Hey, I think I ought to get to know you. You know, just, how you doing? And then just loving on people. And if you can do that, I say you're 90% of the way there. And as you're loving on people, you got to be ready, though, because it's very likely at some point that person or some person's going to say, there's something about you. What is it? What do you got? What makes you shine? What makes you that loving? I don't get it. And so 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, that we need to be prepared to give an answer to anybody who asks for the hope that we have, that hope in Jesus Christ. So right now, I'm going to challenge you. Are you ready to give an answer if somebody were to ask you, what is it about you? Can you tell them? Can you articulate it? And I, again, simple terms. Keep it simple. I won't say the last word of that kid theory. Keep it simple. So I'll tell you what, here's the challenge. Over lunch, whether you're just sitting down to lunch with your family or, you know, I know some of you go out to lunch together, I want you, somebody bring this up. Somebody remember at the table. All right, what kind of an answer would you give? At the end of the day, it's just saying, with Jesus, is Jesus in my life? And maybe you're a person who said, I can't articulate it real well, but it's Jesus. I love Him. He loves me. And that's it. If you can just say that, that's witnessing. But that's what God wants us to do, is to love on people and then just tell them it's because of Him. And it's because of what He's done in my heart that there's love in there at all. Again, from Julie's testimony. Didn't you hear that? I mean, because of Jesus in her heart, it's the only reason she's got love in there at all. She tried to walk away from it and God wouldn't let her. Don't you just love that about God? He won't let you. If He's claimed you as His child, He will not let you. At least not for long. Praise God. And so, here was the message. Their message and our message. He said it's just repentance and forgiveness is in His name. So when you're going to tell somebody about this hope that you have and give them an answer, try and include something about that. Repentance and forgiveness. And that's big. And I could preach a number of sermons on that. But that's the essence. Repentance means literally making a 180. I'm walking in sin and I do a 180 and turn away from sin, go the opposite direction. That's repentance. Turning away from your sin. And then forgiveness. It's the fact that the stuff that, if I think about it, I am ashamed of it. But now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's forgiven me. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise. That's it. Forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. And then in point four, I talk about and pull out of those texts the importance of the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told them, but I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. But I love the way He put it. You'll be clothed with power from on high. Think of that one. I love the imagery. Can you imagine just being clothed with power from on high? This is God's power that will clothe you. So it's this empowering of the Holy Spirit. And it can be, he talks about in Ephesians, Paul's prayer, his wish for his followers is the Holy Spirit, the power, but wisdom and revelation is one aspect. And I love how James says, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, just ask. Again, know who Jesus is. He's up there interceding, and He loves that request. Sometimes I just act so foolishly. Please make me more wise. Yes! He loves that request. So just ask, and Jesus will help you to become wise. Let's discern between wisdom and somebody who's wise and somebody who's smart, intelligent. You can have all kinds of smarts and intelligence, and I know a lot of people that have their doctorates that are so unwise, but I know some people that probably never even finished fifth grade, but who were steeped in wisdom. What's the difference? Now, you can know about a ton of things and still, when it comes to the essentials of life, just live stupidly. And you can just, have such a basic education and a basic core knowledge, and yet be so wise and discerning and have this profound knowledge. And he says, too, that wisdom and revelation, it leads to, the result is, so that you may know God better. That's wisdom and revelation. It's that I know God better, that I have this intimate knowledge of God. So what's one of the chief ways you can grow in wisdom? Read the Word. Specifically Proverbs. There's all kinds of promises in Proverbs about wisdom. And I think of Daniel, too. Wisdom and revelation. Daniel, who our kids just did a play on Friday. You did wonderful. They and their cohort. So a whole book of Daniel. They did a play on it. And it was great to be reminded of the Daniel story. But Daniel came before Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar had these really troubling dreams, or a really troubling dream. And so he asked his wise men, and he said, "Oh, help me interpret the dream." They said, "Okay, tell us the dream, we'll interpret it." And he said, "No, I know you too well. You'll just make something up. You tell me what I dreamt if you're so wise. You tell me the dream and then give me the interpretation." They said, "That's impossible. Nobody could do that." "Fine, off with your heads then." "What?" So then Daniel hears about it. And Daniel says, "Okay, wait. Let me come talk to the king." Well, he made no bones about it. But first he asked the king for time to pray. He did. And God gave Daniel that wisdom, that revelation. So he came back to the king and he said, "I'll tell you what your dream is. But understand this, it's not me. It's God." Okay? Understand, it's God that is doing this and has given this to me. I'm nothing special. And then he told the king what his dream was and then gave him the interpretation. It was so awesome, so powerful. Nebuchadnezzar gets down and bows before, the king of, at the time, the greatest king of the earth, bows down before Daniel and then lavishes him with gifts, wisdom and revelation. And God says, if you're lacking in wisdom, ask. Just ask. And Jesus, from his throne, says, "Amen. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." I love that verse. So, wisdom and revelation. And then point C, pulling it right out of Ephesians 1:18. To know the hope to which he has called you. Hope. Hope is so powerful. And it can make us so strong, so bold. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. How can you be that bold? Because of the hope you have. And that was the vast difference between Peter before being clothed with this power on high and after. Before, remember when Jesus is on trial. Peter's warming himself outside in the courtyard. And, "Hey, aren't you one of his disciples?" No, you got the wrong guy." 3 times denied Jesus and then ran off crying when he realized he had denied him. And then after, he's not in the courtyard. Now he's inside with the Sanhedrin. "Hey, this is way more dangerous. You stop preaching in that name," they told him. He says, "You judge for yourselves what is right, whether to obey God or to obey you. But we cannot help but to preach and teach about Jesus." Whoa, where's that boldness come from? Yeah, clothed with power from the Holy Spirit, but this hope that's in him, "Do to me what you will." As Paul would say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To die is gain. I got this hope that as soon as you kill me, I am there with God in glory. I saw this lived out. My good friend Rich Dawkins, for 4 or 5 years, he was a missionary in the uptown neighborhood of Chicago. And I can't remember the name of the Clarendon Park. That's what it was, in Clarendon Park. It was the borderline for 3 different rival gangs. Here he is, this middle-aged white guy, in this all-black neighborhood, and he was a missionary there, and he'd hang out with kids, and then he'd be there till 1 or 2 in the morning in the park. And one time some kid got smart with him and threatened Rich. And I love Rich told us his response. He says, "All right, you tell me the time and the place. Listen, I'll stand right under this light post. I'm going to come with a white T-shirt painted with the target right here, right on my chest. You name the time and the place. I'm here." Rich, what are you thinking? He's a gang kid. He said, "Yeah? What's the kid going to do? Kill me? Fine. Even better. To live as Christ, to die as gain." And he meant it. He wouldn't back down. Talk about boldness. He now lives in Grand Haven. Maybe I ought to give him a call and see if he can come preach sometime. Rich is quite the character. Anyway. But that's the hope. I mean, when you got that hope, where you can look a gang kid in the face that's threatening you and just tell him right here, right now, take me. I mean, what other concerns are going to eat at you? That hope is so powerful. Oh, that we could get that hope in us. That it could live and thrive in us. Imagine the boldness, the way we could live with that kind of hope in us. And then he says in Ephesians 1:18, and Paul's praying that we would come to understand the riches of his glorious inheritance from the saints. That's why I want the testimony. The riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. An inheritance is that which we pass down. And as the saints come up and tell their stories, this is that inheritance that just is passed down, passed along. And then when we read those biographies of those saints that have gone before us, and I just finished a biography about some amazing family of North Korean Christians. Amazing how inspiring it is. You know, if you read about Billy Graham's story, if you read about Dwight Moody's story, you're going to come to understand the riches of this inheritance of the saints, because this intimacy, this intimate knowledge and relationship they had with Jesus, and then when they start articulating and putting into words, it's just so powerful. And it's better than gold and silver and treasures. This is that glorious inheritance of the saints that we have. And then in point E, Ephesians 1:19 talks about this incomparably, how do you pronounce that, great power for us who believe. And that's the crazy thing. Jesus, I mean, he's got all this power, and he's going to clothe us through his Holy Spirit with that power. And Paul says it's the same power in us that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And it has nothing to do with who I am. This is what I got. I got this degree from North Park Theological Seminary, Master of Theology. Nothing. As Paul would say, all that stuff is just garbage. It's garbage compared to knowing Christ. Because when you know Christ, now you got access through him to all that power, that hope, the riches of the glory and the glorious inheritance of the saints. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what we got. Every single one of us here. And please don't discount yourself. Don't discount yourself. Well, I don't have. Right. So you're the perfect candidate. 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, God loves to take that which is weak and which is compared to the wisdom of this world, very unwise. He loves to take those things that are weak and the nothings, which is what we are, to shame the wise of the earth and put His power in us. So if you don't think you got anything to give, you're a perfect candidate, therefore. Because probably the worst case is somebody who really thinks they are hot stuff. So here I am, God. I'm your man. And God just shakes His head. Don't discount yourself. You get the right understanding of who Christ is, His awesome power that He has, and all of a sudden, He might clothe you, us, with that awesome power. Amazing. Amazing things could happen in you, in us. But Jesus says, wait for it. All right? Wait for His clothing. Wait for the Holy Spirit. If you don't have it, be careful. Sometimes some of the stories in the Bible are comical. They really are. You're reading, I think it's Acts, I want to say 7. But it's the 7 sons of Sceva. Hilarious story. So it's these prophets, Jewish prophets, 7 sons of this Sceva, and they decide that, well, they'll try casting this demon out of this guy. And they've seen Paul do it, so they say, okay, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we cast you out. And the demon, because they were not clothed in power of the Holy Spirit, the demon looked at them and said, oh, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? And he jumps him. And this guy beats on him so bad, they come running out of the house, bleeding and half naked. I find that kind of a comical story. Anyway, so, you see the humor in it? But the point is, too, if you ain't got it, don't try it. Okay? So Jesus said, wait for this power from on high to clothe you. But I want to tell you, if you don't have that power from on high, if you don't have that, you know, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, Dwight Moody talked about that, if you don't have it, then wait. But don't let it be a passive waiting. Let it be a prayerful waiting. Please, Jesus. Please, Jesus. May I have that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Fill me. Lord, I don't think I've got enough of your Holy Spirit in me. Please, God. Please, please, please. Pray. May it be a prayerful waiting. And then watch. But I got to believe that if we're pleading with that, like that, to God on high, you really think God's going to be up on His throne going, nah. I truly, if I have any knowledge of God, I really believe God's up there going, yes, angels, come on, get down there. All right, here we go. We're going to empower this guy. Yeah. Pray. Pray. Pray as you wait. Boy, if that power comes, please come talk to me. I won't put you to work. So, it is not passive, but prayerful waiting. And I love this verse. And we put it right there in the bulletin. The memory verse of the month. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wonderful prayer. Wonderful way to end the message. Amen. So then we move to prayer. And this is the time as a congregation when we gather prayers